The title of this message is Dealing with the Roots of Dysfunction in Ministry, and it's aimed at anybody who is interested in a more authentic and powerful relationship with God, whatever your station in life. The message was originally prepared for the first session of a seminar we were doing with a group of expat workers, where we were going to go into the areas of inner healing and deliverance. And so this message is especially addressing some of the challenges of people who are in so-called full-time ministry. I'm going to go into some introductory thoughts and share some negative and positive examples that will really highlight the importance of inner healing, especially for people who are full-time workers. First of all, my background. I grew up in a missionary home. I'm an MK. My parents were workers in Africa. My sister was a worker in Argentina for 10 years. And my wife and I have worked with some leaders in different countries in Africa and Asia. So we've seen a lot of great things and some not so great things happening in the church and on the workers' field. And what I'm going to share with you in this session is intended to equip and to help you. And I would ask that even if you feel that none of this is for you at the moment, please stay engaged and open-minded, as it may be that some of these insights will equip you to help somebody else in future or to avoid problems in your own life at a later stage. So please stay open and engaged. As I explained, I've seen a lot and I've been honored to have some people confide in us as we've traveled. And we've seen that there is a desperate need for all Christians, and especially those in so-called full-time ministry, to have safer relationships where they can be vulnerable and honest. There is a gap between what we know from the Bible is the call to walk in the light versus the reality of the cultures that we live in. In the secular West, there is now a shameless culture where TV shows are made, where people bear their most embarrassing problems in public. In the East, though, this would be completely inconceivable because there's a culture of shame. And in the church, where there is a performance culture, the shame culture is also strengthened. We all need to be able to be real with one another, no matter what our position or our role is in the body of Christ. As I said, the Bible is clear. It says in James 5:16, "Therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." That's James 5:16. I said again, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." That's James 5:16. So that means that there is a prayer of a righteous person that is more powerful than our own private prayers when we are caught and struggling with something. At that moment, when we are caught in something, we are not that righteous person. But there is a brother somewhere who has overcome that area, or a sister. And so instead of trying to work through everything on our own, it's better that we confess our sins to one another. Their prayers have great power. And in 1 John 1 it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And in verse 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." So we can clearly see from the context that this confession is not just a private confession, but it's a confession one to another, and it's intimately related to the fellowship that we have with one another. The quality of our fellowship depends on the quality or the depth of honesty of our confession. So we can see that this is clear from the scripture and it's a great theory, but like many things in the Bible, we don't see that many people living it out too effectively. And when new Christians don't know something or don't understand or apply it, that's one problem. But if people who are meant to be leaders don't do that either, then we have a more serious problem. And when it comes to this topic of being vulnerable and bringing things out into a safe context so that we can get healed, full-time workers are in a much more difficult position. So one reason for this is what I call the sponsor hero problem. And the problem is that people who send others to the workers' field, they tend to idealize those that they're sending and see them as super Christians. They see themselves as ordinary Christians in a lay role called to generate funds, and they see you as the super Christian who's called to go to take that money and go and spread the gospel. And they see you as somebody who has a super connection to God. You have a boldness and a willingness to leave everything. And they admire you for that. And they want to support that because they believe that you could, that they themselves could never be like you. So that results in a performance pressure that comes on you. And you can't let anyone down now. So you can't afford to let people know when you have struggles. You always need to keep up appearances. And when you're in the foreign culture, you're busy working and you need to show inspiring leadership and strength to those that you're serving. And when you're on the home leave, you need to impress everyone who's supporting you and praying for you. And so this makes things quite difficult, especially at times when you're not doing so well. So who do you turn to? Who can you really be vulnerable with? Do you bottle everything up inside and keep up your performance as a pro? Do you just keep going? When people find themselves trapped in full-time work without alternative career paths, but with unresolved issues from their past, and no one that they feel they can be honest with, then performance pressure results in some common deceptions. Testimonies, for example, get exaggerated. Numbers get inflated. Problems are hidden and challenges are glorified. For example, people discover that the more they dramatize the challenges and the bigger they make the enemy that they're facing, the more generous their sponsors become. So you see, there are many pitfalls, which I'm sure you're all aware of, and I'm not suggesting that any of them are challenges in your life, but I'm sharing with you what I've seen within the church. So you can see all the problems that could potentially arise when authenticity is not laid as a strong foundation in our lives. And when we don't have a fellowship that is safe, where we can confess our sins one to another, and when we don't have an intimate experience of the Father's love. I knew a man whose Hollywood career was just beginning to take off, but the Lord called him out of the film industry and out of a superstar program that he was in, and he began to minister in Southeast Asia. And once he was on a field trip when his wife went into premature labor, so he jumped on a plane to get back to her as soon as possible. And unfortunately, as he was traveling, she lost the baby. And he called me from the stopover. And all of a sudden, he just broke down and he said, God hates me and there's no point in serving him. And a couple of days later, he'd pulled himself together and he preached at the funeral of the baby. And he was back into performance mode. And he never stopped, I believe, to look at the deeper problem. The faith tradition that he had been raised in did not really help him because they had such a strong emphasis on looking forwards and proclamation and place a low value on looking to the past and dealing with our emotional issues that might have come with us into our Christian life. But as far as this brother was concerned, God was using him nonetheless. And we ministered once on his team, and God did great life-changing things in the life of some people in that meeting. But this friend of mine, he was like Moses before his encounter with God, when God takes him into the cleft of the rock and just really shows him something new about who he is. Because up to that point, Moses was never sure that God approved of him, that God was really with him. Wouldn't it be so much better if God could use us, but we could also know that he loves us and that he's really with us? Let's not let our doctrine be a barrier to receiving ministry, and let's not let fear be that barrier either. I know a man whose messages touch hundreds of thousands each year, yet he says to me, I just keep going because the empty house is too painful. His wife had left him. So instead of doing that, instead of looking at possible reasons and roots that could have been in his life as well, he just keeps moving forward and he just keeps on quoting Paul and not looking back, pressing forward to the goal, not looking back. And there are times when that's right, but there are times where we need to look back. And we see that Jesus did this with Peter after Peter had denied him. Peter had messed up in a big way. And so at the earliest opportunity, Jesus took time to address that problem and to heal Peter's broken heart. This is one of the clearest pictures of healing of the memories that we find in Scripture. And it happens that morning then when Jesus calls out to Peter in his boat. And what he does is he repeats the miracle of the supernatural catch of fish that reminds Peter of the Lord's purpose, of the day of his calling. And it draws Peter's attention away from his failure and to his purpose. And then they move from the fishing to breakfast. And there again, the Lord triggers his memories of the denial. And he asks him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And these three times trigger the memory of the three times that Peter had denied Jesus. And in that moment, Jesus' presence brings a new perspective and inner healing comes into the memories. This is inner healing, or healing of the memories in a nutshell in the Bible. It's the clearest example. And I've seen God do that for myself and for others. And I'll share with you one example. We were at the Lakeland Revival, and it was being broadcast all over the world, and amazing miracles were happening in this intense presence of God. And one night, the main preacher presented his wife on stage, saying that they had come through a marriage crisis with God's help alone. And he said that people had tried to counsel them and do inner healing, but he had chosen to find healing and intimacy with God on his own. That was, and it seemed quite reasonable because of the intense presence of God that he was carrying. And so he said that, you know, he and his wife were doing great now. But 3 weeks later, he left her to marry his nanny. And it was a global scandal because the meetings had been daily on God TV and people like us had flown in from all over the world to see what God was doing and to receive from him. And when that happened, it threw many people. But we chose to focus on what we'd received from God there and not let the offense creep in. And one of the things that I received there was inner healing from an incident that happened when I was around 7 years old. I was sent to boarding school in Kenya when I was six, and there was an incident one night where two older boys almost sexually abused me. And that humiliation was deep inside of me, and it would manifest as anger when my wife was trying to confront me about things which were not right in my life. I would use that experience as an excuse. It was like a killer argument, you know, zip lip. You have nothing else to say because, you know, that's what I went through and you haven't been through that. So I have a right to be angry and you don't have a right to say anything to me. So that's how I would use that, that pain and that wound that I had in my life. But on the first night when we arrived in Lakeland, Patricia King was ministering. And she said, "Tonight God is going to touch people and heal them in the area of sexual abuse." And I had prayed on my own about that many times, and but I knew that that night was my night. And so I was on tenterhooks throughout the meeting because she said, "We'll go into that area when God TV goes off air." So she waited till the cameras got turned off, and she started to talk into that area. And at some point, she asked people to stand up. And my brother was on my right, my wife was on my left, and there's like 3,000 to 5,000 people in the tent. And it's like, why do I have to stand up? Can't I just do this sitting down? But I overcame the shame and I stood up and God began to touch me and I began to cry and God healed me of that pain. And at some point I turned to my brother and I told him what was going on because, you know, I had felt that he should have protected me. So that was also really significant. That was really, you know, challenging to tell that. And say, "Look, this is what happened. And I went to boarding school because you were there and I expected more of you." But anyway, my brother prayed for me, and the words that he used as he prayed, they really brought God's perspective to me on that situation. And I received inner healing. So I can share that testimony with you now and with others. And I don't have any more pain or anger attached to that memory at all. I'm free and healed from that incident and from the consequences of it. And I believe that there is power in bringing things into the light with brothers and with sisters. So we need to be authentic, and we need to confess our sins and our hurts to one another and not always try to deal with them on our own. Remember James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So maybe somebody is thinking of 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Well, that's true. But we know from the Bible and from experience that we need brothers and sisters to help us to apply that truth progressively into all the different areas of our life. I'll give you an example from a session that we had in Delhi. My wife and I were passing through a Bible school there, and there was a first-year student who was very discouraged and able, and he was about to quit. And he had epilepsy, and I'd prayed for healing on a previous visit about 3 months earlier, but there was nothing, there was no healing. So he came and he asked for prayer again. And so instead of just praying in the prayer line, I said, wait until the meeting, let's go deeper. Let's get to the root of this. So as we began to talk and he shared, the topic was, the issue was sexual abuse. Something had happened to him when he was about 13, which he did not feel comfortable talking about. But since then, he said he had never cried, and we knew that he had epilepsy, which seemed to have begun around that time. So the fact that he didn't want to talk about it didn't matter, because when it comes to inner healing, especially in the area of sexual abuse, we don't want to probe or to dig. We have to avoid also asking leading questions. The goal as a minister is simply to help the person come to a place where Jesus himself can minister to them supernaturally. In this case, we had to help this young man to overcome some religious barriers. We asked Jesus to take him back in his memories to the place he wanted to heal, and we waited to see what Jesus would say to him. After a while, he was able to see, and he could see this painful memory. And I said, what is Jesus saying? And he said, I hear, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Well, that sounded to me just like the Bible. So I said, look, that's the voice of your Bible class teacher, not the Lord. So listen again. Ignore what you think the Bible is saying and hear what the Lord himself is saying to you. So we waited again for a while. And after a while, the Lord took him into a new picture completely. And it was very surprising. The Lord took him swimming into a beautiful clean pool, and they dived down deep underwater to the bottom. And there the Lord collected some pearls and gave those pearls to him. And as they came up out of the water, he saw this big black rock, and he just saw it shrinking. And that's where I suggested, I said, could that be your hardened heart? That God is now just shrinking to give you a new and a soft heart. Your heart of stone is being replaced. And as I said that, he began to cry, and he hadn't been able to cry for more than 5 years since this incident. Because of what had happened to him. But the Lord was removing his hardened heart and giving him a soft heart. And he was renewing his calling, which was symbolized by the pearls. So he was full of joy. And the cool thing is that as far as I know, he never had epilepsy ever again. And he was able to continue with his studies and go on to serve the Lord. So as professional Christians, or as people who are expected to know the Lord, the Word very well, our tendency can be to have a relationship with the written Word rather than with the living Word himself. So in these sessions, we're going to look at some tools, but these tools can be used to lead other people into encounters which result in inner healing or physical healing. But I think it's very important that you don't just see them as tools for other people, but that you let the Lord minister to you first. Because we want to be like Jesus, and he was the Word who became flesh. So everything that becomes flesh, becomes manifested in our own lives, is infinitely more powerful than any tools or techniques that we might try and learn. And the truth is, we all have challenges and we all get hurt. Moses had inferiority, Elijah had depression, David had a lust problem, Elijah had a problem with the fact that he was losing his hair and going bald. But God used all of these people nonetheless. And we can be satisfied with that and say, well, main thing is God's using me. Or we can say, hey, wouldn't it be cool if God could use me, but I could also feel comfortable with myself, with my body, with my past, with my future? This is God's purpose for us, that we can know the fullness of the Father's love and not just have a set of tools or techniques or just have a mission or a purpose. So let's overcome this idea that we need to be super Christians without any problems. Let's not just keep running and working for God and sweeping things under the carpet because of our church tradition or because of fear. And let us let the Lord minister to us personally in a way that He wants to do.